This episode of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood, the very first of 2019.
Yes, it's very exciting.
I am Emily, and I'm here with my sister-in-law, Laura.
Hello, everyone.
And we are really excited. We're going to be continuing our theme of unity in the gospel that we've kind of been doing. We'll be kicking off a new theme in September, but we have a great kind of spring lineup. It is not spring yet. I mean, let's be honest, it's freezing cold.
We're pretending.
But pretending like spring is coming. We have a lot of great shows lined up for you, just like even about things like vacation and ministry and church expectations, work, motherhood, dreams, all kinds of things.
It's topics that I feel like we're both really excited to talk about. Yeah. Like just things that Emily and I have had interest in and that we want to share and kind of go back to our roots to air in our conversation.
So we also have an exciting announcement to start the year. We are officially a nonprofit, which is something we have been working towards since, I think, last summer.
Yeah.
So definitely a huge behind-the-scenes task that we've been pressing forward towards. We're just so thankful that those pieces are coming together. And now we have even more people kind of on our team,
Yes. Our
board of directors.
Yeah, we have a phenomenal group of people that God really pulled together. I think Emily and I were floored when all of them said yes. We're just going to list them here for you. And some of those names we hope that you recognize, and the others we hope that you'll head to our site and just like check out their ministries to get to know them more. We have Karen Hodge, who serves as our board chair. And then we have Melissa Kruger, Abigail Dodds, Eric Shoemaker, Ruth Simons, and Kina Aragon, all serving as board members. So this is really exciting to us to just be able to have really wise people over us and sort of shepherding Risen Motherhood into the future. So it's going to be really great. And with becoming a nonprofit, many of you guys probably know that usually your donations become tax deductible. Because of that, we're also going to be moving our hosting platform for where our donations are taken at. So it will be on our own site. But we're still offering perks. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that for a sec, because that's fun.
Yes. So at the $5 level, you are going to start to receive this newsletter called the RM Report. And we're just going to, it's kind of like a ministry report that you would get from a missionary you support. But we're going to show you behind the scenes things, ways that God is working, just some updates about what's going on at Risen Motherhood. And then for $30 a month and above, you will receive an exclusive Risen Motherhood donor thank you mug. So really exciting. And if you switch over from Patreon and you become a donor on this new platform that we have, there's going to be an exclusive perk right there for you at the beginning.
So. Yeah. Y'all should have gotten an email about that. So like we said, your donation is now tax deductible. So we hope as well that that will be just a gift for all of you who are giving so much to us. We're really, really grateful for all of your contributions. And we definitely could not do it without your help. Head over to risenmotherhood.com/give to learn more. And to just check out the new platform and go look at the board of directors as well and view their ministries like we were saying.
Yeah, so we are excited to kick off the year with a topic that actually, as Laura and I were thinking about it, we're like, how have we not talked about this in specific before?
I know. Well, it's one of those things that I think you and I, it's sort of how Risen Motherhood was born.
Yes.
We're talking about personal conscience. And it was sort of how Risen Motherhood was born, but we didn't know it yet. We didn't necessarily have the label to say, hey, this is kind of what we're actually talking about in and out every week.
Right. And so you've probably heard us say things like, oh, that's a gray area, or that's something the Bible doesn't prescribe exactly, or hey, we have freedom in Christ here, or this is a matter of conscience. So I think we say something like that pretty much every week on the show, because that's what most of our shows deal in, are these things that it's like the 1,000 daily choices that we make that just aren't always really clear about what we should do.
Yeah. I mean, these are things like, hey, what kind of food am I going to feed my family? How much screen time should I show my kids? How am I going to educate my kids? Or how do you train, equip, disciple your kids? What does that look like practically played out? Or what does my work life, home life balance look like? What's the childcare situation? So we could go on and on. Basically, mm-hmm. you can look at any show in our archive and be like, oh yeah, there's some personal conscience at play in there.
Yeah. And I think this is something in our modern culture, specifically in motherhood, we have so many choices. And, you know, if you're somebody who hopes in Christ and you generally understand like the commands of God, you know, like, okay, I'm not supposed to steal. That's not okay. But with all these other choices, it's quite a bit more complicated. And so Laura and I have been really surprised at how little this topic is actually tackled by just kind of
mainstream Christian.
Yeah, the resources that are mm-hmm. out there
right
now.
There's not enough.
This is something we deal in every single day and has a huge impact on the choices we make. And yet it's something we don't think very deeply about.
Yeah. And I think it's something that if you really understood what personal conscience was and even how it's different from the Holy Spirit, which we're going to get into, it would change a lot of the way you viewed things that you face in motherhood. I know for myself personally, I've seen a major change in my conscience during my time as a mom. I think when I was a first-time mom, I saw a lot more things as black and white or as right and wrong. But now as I've matured as a mom and just had more experience and seen more things, I've really realized that my conscience has actually changed. It's not that what's right or wrong has changed. Those things hold fast to the word of God. But I think like what I view as right and wrong in motherhood has really changed. And I think a lot of you guys can probably identify even when, hey, prior to being a mom, you thought, I'll never let my kids do that. And then you become a mom and you're like, oh, now I'm letting my kids do that. That's called personal conscience.
Yeah. One of the things that impacted me this last fall, I was going through some open submission articles and ran across one that I think gave some really good cultural examples that I think when I have encountered these conscience topics in the context of cultural differences, it starts to make more sense to me in the context of my local community and maybe mm-hmm. the mom at church who does something differently than I do. So one of this lady's stories was that she was living as a missionary with her husband in another country. And, you know, what do we do here in America if your kids' Cheez-It falls on the floor, right? You like pick it back up
eat
and give it to them.
It's fine. 3-second rule.
Yeah. Or 5 or 10 second rule.
20 minute, whatever.
Here's that cheese stick. Go ahead and take it again. And so we have most of us probably don't think too hard about something that falls on your kitchen floor to just quickly hand that back to your child. Well, this country that they were living in, that was considered something that was wrong and dangerous to do for children and had a lot of like, ooh, that's definitely not okay. So they had this babysitter that would just throw food away every time it fell on the floor or would just, you know, stare at them like they were crazy if mm-hmm. they would hand their food back to their child. And I thought, oh, that's a really interesting picture of two things that both sides would probably say, this is totally fine, or this is totally wrong. And it's not prescribed by the word of God, but their conscience was telling them, you know, how to respond in that situation. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of things like that in motherhood. And it's just really interesting when you start looking internationally.
Yeah. And so today we kind of want to tackle the question of, well, if my conscience isn't always right or wrong, but God's word is, but it doesn't necessarily speak to every one of those situations, how do I know what to do in motherhood? And we were speaking before that, hey, there aren't a lot of great resources about the personal conscience, but there is one that we really, really like. And a lot of what we're talking about on today's show stemmed from Emily and I reading this book and then having tons of discussions about it and talking about how it applied to our own life. And that book is Conscience, What It Is, How to Train It, and Loving Those Who Are Different. And so we are going to link that in our show notes. And we hope you guys will go and read it. It would be really a mm-hmm. great book to read with a group of moms or your small group or something like that. It helped us understand a lot. And so we hope mm-hmm. that it will be even better at explaining this topic than we'll be able to in a 20-minute yeah. show.
And they have like great graphs in there too. Things that you're like, oh, that makes so much sense when you draw it as a picture. And now you guys are very curious about what we're talking about.
Go read it.
But we're just going to kind of try to give a general picture of what personal conscience is and then talk about it sort of as application in the life of a mom. So first off, like, what is our personal conscience, Laura?
Oh, you're going to ask me this.
Yeah, you're on the spot. Answer it.
Okay, so this was a really good thing for me to draw a distinction in. So our personal conscience is your personal sense of right and wrong. It's kind of that moral compass, as we all refer to it in certain situations. So God gives every human being a conscience, and it's that weird feeling that you might get when your kid watches too much TV and you feel a little bit guilty, or maybe it's something that you're wrestling with as you walk out the door to go to work, or maybe if you're not working and you feel like you should be. It's that pit in your stomach that develops after you gossiped about your friend at the play date. So it's that moral compass inside of us. It's mm-hmm. not the Holy Spirit, which again, we'll talk about a little bit more, but it's your own personal kind of law book.
Yes. And one thing to note is that God gave these to us, gave us a conscience for us personally to listen to and follow. So these aren't our own moral compass. And I'm using that phrase because I think that's a commonly understood phrase in the culture. That's not the way the Bible talks about it. But God has provided the Bible as the universal truth for all people for all of time. So that is the thing, that it's not relative. It applies to everyone. But then there are these things we're going to talk about, these gray areas, that is just for you personally. That's not so that your friend can do that. That's not so that your mother-in-law has to do it that way or anyone else. That personal conscience is just meant for you individually.
Right. And everyone's conscience is different, as Emily was saying, within these gray areas, because they're not always calibrated to God's word, which means they're not always right. I think we have to remember that we're all sinful humans living in a broken world, and we have consciences that have deviated from God's word and his ways. And so we're probably getting a lot of things right or some things right, but we're also getting some things wrong. And kind of like Emily's story right at the beginning, they're really, really strongly influenced by our upbringing, the culture we're in, our personality, our parents, like fears mm-hmm. that we have. So there's something that always need to be continually examined, and they always need to be submitted to God's word.
Mm-hmm. Another thing about personal conscience is that they can be kind of further damaged or dulled. So as Laura was saying, we're all sinful, so all of our consciences are definitely getting things wrong. But there's something that when we ignore our conscience without seeking to understand, wait, what's going on there? Why do I feel wrong about that? And realigning it with God's word, we actually desensitize ourselves to it. So like one common example of desensitizing would be, hey, I've started watching, you know, a TV show that has this a little bit more violence or a little bit more something in it that's really intense. And we get used to that. And then suddenly we are able to watch more of that. Mm-hmm. And we don't even realize over time how we've been sliding and sliding away from something that, you know, probably isn't okay for us to be doing. So whenever we have that feeling of guilt, the pit in our stomach, that's why we've said on so many shows in the past, hey, if you feel that, don't stuff it down and run away, because that desensitizes your mm-hmm. conscience or dulls it. Examine it and say, yeah, I shouldn't feel guilty about this. I need to realign my conscience, or there's something here I need to repent of. So they definitely can be shaped.
Yes. And so with that shaping, as Emma said, they can kind of slide away from God and his word and what he deems is right, but they can also become more and more in line. So the word they use in the book, which I really liked, is that you can recalibrate your conscience. And mm-hmm. so this is especially with dealing with those big hot topics in mommy world. many of us have kind of these overactive consciences where, like we mentioned, our consciences are influenced by a lot of different things. But when we're believers, the only things that should really inform them is our beliefs in God's word. And so as we grow in our knowledge of him, and as we understand and grow in maturity, we have confession and prayer and just our general growth, then I think we'll often find that, hey, these are the things I need to hold fast to, especially in motherhood or in my life and where my conscience is correct. And these are the things that I can let go and not judge one another or feel guilt over, because I know that there is freedom to do them in different ways, because the Bible doesn't speak specifically to how that should be played out.
Right. Hence why at Risen Motherhood, we harp over and over again about we have to continually study God's word. We have to live in community with other believers, mm-hmm. because that is how over time we recalibrate, because everybody's got something a little wonky about what
they
think.
You're not perfect. We're not perfect.
And we need other strong believers to help us kind of suss out like what's true here and what's maybe something that I'm holding too tightly to.
Right. So we want to cover a couple more principles from scripture just to keep in mind before we go through a quick scenario for you guys. First is to remember that God wants us to listen and act confidently according to our conscience, where it aligns with his word. And again, this is kind of to the best that we can determine it in our where we're at with our spiritual growth in that moment. And so, you know, if your conscience is pricked and you're just saying, leave me alone, I'm going to stuff it down, I'm going to ignore that, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing without stopping to evaluate, that is sin. And God uses our personal conscience and some of the emotions that it stirs up in us in order to help say, hey, this is a red flag and I need to deal with it. It may end up being something that I can let go, but it may be something that I need to confess and deal with and change going forward. And we see a lot of this in Romans 14. That's like the famous passage on this that everyone pulls out. And definitely go in and read that passage. We've referenced it on several shows in the past if you're wanting to learn more about this.
Right. It's just kind of that for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So yeah. there's that element of God wants us to do everything in faith for what we think is obedience towards him. And so also another thing is God doesn't want us to put someone else in a position where they have to violate their conscience. So that's, again, we are saying Romans 14 really goes into some interesting situations where Paul is helping believers live together in unity by saying, look, like we have a lot of freedoms. We can live things out differently, but let's not put your neighbor in a position where they have to do something they feel is really wrong if we don't have to. That's not very loving.
Right. And God doesn't want us to use our freedom in Christ to be unloving to other people. So we just have to remember that Christ laid down his rights for us. And just because our conscience is clear in doing something, we don't have to like keep doing that in a way that makes somebody else stumble. This is what Paul did as he conformed to what helped his fellow believers who were maybe weaker in the faith. Like he didn't hold up his flag and say, well, I can do anything that I want and it doesn't bother me. But instead he said, yeah, I will, you know, change according to what helps this other believer so that I don't cause them to stumble. And so that's something we just never want to wear as this big badge of pride and act like it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks.
Yeah. You know? Laura and I had so many good conversations on this because I think this is something that our generation needs to be aware of and be careful of as we're believing the gospel and we're free in Christ and hey, we all get to make our own decisions, that we're also called to love our neighbor. We're also called to be holy, and we don't get to wear freedom in Christ as a means to hurt someone else. And Jesus was the perfect example, like Laura said, of laying down all of his rights and quote unquote freedom so that we could be loved and have a relationship with God. So it's really important that we're not using it as an opportunity for sin or unrighteousness.
Okay, so we want to talk quickly through a very high level example, and don't read too much into this, but it is something that we think a lot of moms deal with, and so we can show how personal conscience plays out differently for these two women. So first we have Lucy, and she has a couple of kiddos, and one of her children gets sick with a nasty cold virus, and she gives her some over-the-counter infant medication for the pain that she seems to be in, and then, you know, she takes her to the doctor the next day just to make sure that everything is all right. She's got an ear infection. She puts her on some prescription meds, and Lucy gives it to her daughter and thanks God for the availability of medicine. And her daughter seems, you know, back to normal in 24 hours.
All right. And then Sarah is another mom, and she and her husband have twins, and they both get a nasty cold virus. They are waking up in the night. They're starting to spike fevers and they're a lot of pain. But instead of going straight to the doctor, Sarah says, hey, I've got some at-home medicinal techniques that I want to try first. So she is like thanking the Lord for, you know, the essential oil she's got in the cabinet and the remedies she learned about from her grandma and her friends. And she keeps monitoring her sons and comforting over them over the course of several days. And eventually they start feeling a little bit better. And she's really glad she didn't take them into the doctor and that she didn't have to use any special medications. And she feels totally at peace with the way that she handled the situation.
Right. So there's a couple of base level assumptions. Basically, you know, there could be heart issues going on here, but we're assuming that we're not dealing with a ton of pride or idolatry in these women's hearts. They're just two moms who are acting according to their personal consciences, doing what they thought would be best to honor God and love their children well.
So I think the first thing to keep in mind, which we haven't quite mentioned yet in this show, is there are a lot of strong feelings that can come with personal conscience.
Oof, oof.
You may be feeling really intense feelings after that example. You may have now, you've drawn battle lines, you have taken a side.
You know who is right and who was wrong.
You're Team Lucy or you are Team Sarah. Okay, so this is, now you guys know how these mommy wars happen. And there are people who feel like, no, this is the most holy, this is the most godly way. So we're not saying that you shouldn't have an opinion or shouldn't have strong feelings about this, but we're just saying, nope, this is an area of conscience. And so we need to like put that aside and like, let's examine the situation here.
Okay. So we are assuming that this is a gray area. Even if you have very strong opinions about this, we are taking the stance that this is a matter of personal conscience. And so we see that Lucy and Sarah both had like a general freedom in Christ to use either type of medicinal treatment for their children, but they're also bound to their consciences. So this is where it gets fun to kind of have a discussion about this kind of thing and really interesting and why we wanted to talk about it today. So we see that Lucy's conscience had no problem with giving the Tylenol or the over-the-counter pain medications. And she also felt like she was trusting God in faith to take some action. And it would have violated her own conscience if she had chosen, hey, I'm going to stay home from the doctor and try something different. Like she would not have felt comfortable. She probably would have felt immense guilt from doing something like that because her conscience wasn't calibrated in a way that said, hey, it's totally fine to keep your child at home and do what Sarah's conscience said.
Right. And so Sarah's conscience, on the other hand, would have been violated if she really feels like this strong conviction that she likes to use homeopathic remedies and she grabbed the Tylenol right away. Her conscience might have told her that wasn't right or that wasn't the way to love her children. And so for her, acting in faith meant utilizing the tools at her disposal first.
So one thing to keep in mind, conscience can be recalibrated again because neither of these women are doing something that's in direct violation to God's word, nor is God say, hey, no prescription meds or hey, no homeopathic meds. Like that isn't found in the Bible. So these women can recalibrate and they could even change their ways maybe later in life. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Second, our hope and what our prayer is for every mom listening out there who feels differently on topics like this is that Lucy and Sarah can go to church, be great friends, that they can minister to the gospel to one another and to other people in peace, and that they probably have a lot of other things in common outside of this, which they take obviously very different stances on.
This is where our unity in the gospel theme really comes into play and why we're trying to show like there are things that we all hold to as Christian believers, and there are things that we all hold to in, as individual local bodies of believers. But then there are all these other things where this is what we spend every week saying, we need to apply the gospel here. Because, yeah, it is a slippery slope to just say, oh, that's not in the Bible, I can do it.
Right.
But what we're trying to say is that we take the principles from the Bible and we, in every situation, say, how can I best live according to these in the circumstances God has given me with all the things that, and I'm going to act in faith, believing that I'm trying to obey God with what I know. And so that is really what applying personal conscience is.
And I want to make a quick note too here, because maybe you're wondering, well, what are the principles in the Bible? So if you're new to Risen Motherhood, we talk about it every week on the show, like we're to grow in holiness. We're to live out the Great Commission, the greatest commandment. So know that like those principles, there are true principles that we hold to that we will not compromise on and that no believer should. And so while we're not talking about them specifically on today's show, our hope is that you take the Risen Motherhood ministry as a whole and see that there are principles that we would never compromise on. We're trying to talk about these matters of third, fourth, seventh importance. So,
exactly.
And so just remember that, hey, what does it mean for Lucy's and Sarah's relationships? Well, they're not judging each other when they talk about, oh, my son was sick, I took him to the doctor, I'm so glad that, you know, he's better now because we put him on a medication. Sarah's not, you know, sitting there trying to pass off the oils to Lucy and say, you know, you should have done this first.
Yeah. And we don't want to close the door for conversation. I mean, I think definitely talk, but there's a big difference between, hey, why do you do it that way? And can you explain it to me? And let's talk about this versus a judgment of sin.
Yes.
Actually, that's sin, what you're doing. So we are all doing that every day in our relationships, is having these conversations to understand why people do what they do. But we don't need to judge and condemn it as sin. So just as we're closing up this show, a couple of questions to leave you guys with is, what are some areas of motherhood where you are continually feeling guilty? And have you pressed into that to see if you might be sinning against your conscience? And then try to look, how can I realign my conscience with the Word of God in this area?
And then the last one would be just what gray areas of motherhood are you trying to make others conform to? So this is always a good spot to see, like, am I really holding fast to God's word and his principles, or am I trying to impose them and my own principles on other people? So we know this is a big topic, and we barely even scratched the surface of it.
Barely.
So go read that book. Have more conversations. If you read that book, post it on social media and tag us, because we would love to see, or if you have conversations about this, this is an issue that's really near and dear to our hearts, and we're just excited to at least be able to present it to you guys in a way that mm-hmm. just brings it up to the surface.
So true. And Laura and I have both seen just huge areas of growth in this as we've recalibrated our consciences, really, throughout the whole time we've been doing the ministry of Risen Motherhood.
Yes.
Every time we tackle a topic, we both realize, like,
I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner. And like, I was a little off here.
Off.
And
yeah.
It's just really cool to see how God grows you in that over time. So head over to risenmotherhood.com and follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Risen Motherhood.